The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 1, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on March 22, 2007, in Skopje, Macedonia.
So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 5, Lord Rishabhdev's Teachings, Text Number 1. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Rishabha uvacho nayang deho deha bhajang niloke. Kashtan kaman arhate vidbujangye. Tabhod yivyang putraka yena sattvang. Shud yad yashmad brahma saukyam tvanantam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Lord Rishabhdev told his sons, "My dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal, blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever." Purport. In this verse, Lord Rishabhdev tells his sons about the importance of human life. The word dehabhak refers to anyone who accepts a material body. But the living entity who is awarded the human form must act differently from animals. Animals like dogs and hogs enjoy sense gratification by eating stool. After undergoing severe hardships all day, human beings are trying to enjoy themselves at night by eating, drinking, having sex, and sleeping. At the same time, they have to properly defend themselves. However, this is not human civilization. Human civilization means voluntarily practicing suffering for the advancement of spiritual life. There is, of course, suffering in the lives of animals and plants, which are suffering due to their past misdeeds. However, human beings should voluntarily accept suffering in the form of austerities and penances in order to attain the divine life. After attaining the divine life, one can enjoy happiness eternally. After all, every living being is trying to enjoy happiness. But as long as one is encaged in the material body, he has to suffer. Different types of misery. A higher sense is present in the human form. We should act according to the superior advice in order to attain eternal happiness and go back to Godhead. It is significant in this verse that the government and the natural guardian, the father, should educate subordinates and raise them to Krishna consciousness. Devoid of Krishna consciousness, every living being suffers in this cycle of birth and death perpetually. to relieve them from this bondage and enable them to become blissful and happy, bhakti yoga should be taught. A foolish civilization neglects to teach people how to rise to the platform of bhakti yoga. Without Krishna consciousness, a person is no better than a dog or a hog. The instructions of Vrishabhadeva are very essential at the present moment. People are being educated and trained to work very hard for sense gratification, and there is no sublime aim in life. A man travels to earn his livelihood, leaving home early in the morning, catching a local train and being packed in a compartment. He has to stand for an hour or two in order to reach his place of business. Then again, he takes a bus to get to the office. At the office, he works hard from 9 to 5, then he takes 2 or 3 hours to return home. After eating, he has sex and goes to sleep. For all this hardship, his only happiness is a little sex. Yan maitanari grihamedi sukham itu cham. Rishabdev clearly states that human life is not meant for this kind of existence, which is enjoyed even by dogs and hogs. Indeed, dogs and hogs don't have to work so hard for sex. A human being should try to live in a different way and should not try to imitate dogs and hogs. The alternative is mentioned. Human life is meant for tapasya, austerity, and penance. By tapasya, one can get out of the material clutches. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, devotional service, his happiness is guaranteed eternally. By taking the bhakti yoga devotional service, one's existence is purified. The living entity is seeking happiness life after life, but he can make a solution to all of his problems simply by practicing bhakti yoga. Then he immediately becomes eligible to return home, back to Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, janma karma cha me divyam evang yo vati tattvatah chaktvadehang punarjanma naitimam iti sorjanam. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Om Ajnana Timadandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. One has to be very fortunate to have a father such as Rishabhadev, who will advise the sons so expertly about the human form of life. In this Kali Yuga, we are not so fortunate to have such fathers. The fathers simply train us to try to enjoy sex life like dogs and hogs. That's the training. We get just the opposite training, you see. Rishabhadev is saying, do not engage in this sense gratification. Engage in devotional service to become a spiritually enlightened being so you can enjoy eternal transcendental happiness. But the fathers teach us how to get a little temporary flickering happiness and work like dogs and hogs. So it is just the opposite situation. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is required, because our fathers did not give us the proper understanding. They did not give us the necessary information. They did not do their actual duty to us to give us the formula how to escape the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, Bhagavatam is required. This is why second birth is more important than first birth. First birth, that everyone gets. Even the animals get first birth by mother and father coming out of the womb. That's not a big deal to get first birth. Although they celebrate it as a very big thing. Happy birthday to you. They make it a big, big thing. You see, oh wow, you were born. You're great because you were stuck in the womb and you came out, so you're great. We offer our obeisances, offer arti to you, how great you are because you were born. You see. Actually, this happy birthday, everyone just worshiping themselves, you see. We're worshiping all those who were born because I'm also one of those who were born. It's just a matter, it's just another form of self-worship. Happy birthday to you. But that birth is not a very important thing. Everyone qualifies for such a birth. Stool and urine birth. But this birth, second birth, dvija, that second birth, that is very, very significant. Our first birth is from mother and father, and our second birth is from Vedas and Guru. Vedas are mother, and Guru is father. If we can get this second birth by Vedas and by Guru, that will enable us to come to the platform described here by Rishabhadev. To enter into that happiness which is eternal and ever-increasing. So, this is one of the wonderful features of Krishna consciousness. Brahma saukyam vanantam. That you can enter into an ocean of eternal happiness that never ends. It just goes on increasing, 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 increasing forever and ever and ever. Who could fail to be attracted to an ocean of unlimited happiness? Only the grossest fool is an English word moron. I mean a complete imbecile, idiot. Only a total moron could not be attracted to this ocean of unlimited happiness. So that explains why they're not joining. They're morons. The whole material society, their moronic mentality, are simply morons. They have no brain. They accuse us of being a brainwashed movement, but that's a ridiculous criticism because they don't even have a brain to be washed. You see, they have no brain. Our movement is not a brainwashed. We are a brain-giving movement. We are giving people a brain that, why are you running around trying to gratify your senses, which are only temporary, with some temporary pleasure, which doesn't even touch the soul within. If you're hungry and I offer a plate of food to your shadow, will you be satisfied? If you're starving to death and I offer the food to your shadow, will you be satisfied with it? Will it nourish you? Will it satisfy you? Will it eradicate your hunger? You see, no. It will not do that. So that is sense gratification. You see. Give me food, give me sex, give me, give me, give me, give me, you see. You're giving it to simply some dead matter. That's all. You're simply giving it to dead matter. Dead matter is dead matter. Dead matter cannot be satisfied. There's not even a person there. It's just dead matter. So, if we want to actually become happy and satisfied, we should stop putting all of this energy into feeding our shadows. Feed yourself for a change. You see? Why are you neglecting to feed yourself? You see? Krishna consciousness means don't feed your shadow, feed yourself. Stupid. Don't be an idiot to go on feeding your shadow. When you're hungry, put the food in your mouth. Don't put it in your shadow's mouth. That's Krishna consciousness. You see? But the problem is, we take the shadow reality to be the real thing. That's the stupid thing that's happening here. We take the shadow to be the reality, and the reality to be the shadow. Therefore, tato brahma jigyasa. One has to come out of ignorance by inquiring what is the actual truth. Tasmad gurum prapadyecha jigyashu shreya uttamam. If you want to know that ultimate good, then you must take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master by initiation. Tasmad tadvigyanartam sagurume va bhigatshat. If you want to come out of the shadow and come into the reality, then you must approach the bona fide spiritual master. This is our Vedic culture. Vedic culture is based on approaching the spiritual master. Without spiritual master, there is no Vedic culture. We must approach spiritual master. And then we will come out of the shadow reality into the actual, factual reality. Then we can really be happy, like anything. It's a horrible description here. Can you imagine working? Of course, they work even more hours nowadays, but even this, working 9 to 5, and then that's 8 hours, and then a 6-hour commute. 3 hours in the morning and 3 hours in the evening. 6 hours of commuting time. That's almost as same time he's spending at the job. Prabhupada gives one example. In India, one boy, he asked his mother, who is that man? His father was a commuter, and he always left so early in the morning, and he came home so late at night, working 7 days a week. The son had never seen his father. And one day the office closed a little early. He came home early from work, and the son was shocked. Who was this man? And this is enjoyable, you see. In India, people are swarming to Mumbai. It's already so unbelievably congested. It's so huge. It takes hours and hours and hours and hours to get from one side of the city to another. But as someone told me, 6 hours to get across town. 6 hours just to get across town. In a car, 6-hour drive just to get across town. And every day, more and more, thousands of people are moving there, more and more and more and more, you see. Into a hell. You see. So this is the sad position in the modern day world. People don't know how to be happy, and to try to be happy, they do the thing that makes them more miserable. That's the sad thing. The people are trying to be happy, but they just make themselves more and more miserable. That's why it's so important we preach Krishna consciousness. It's so important we flood this world with an ocean of Prabhupada's books. It's so important we invite everyone to attend these festivals that we have, you see. That we tell everyone about Krishna. Otherwise, what is their hope of finding any actual happiness? It's a horrible situation that people are in. They don't know where they're coming from. They don't know where they're going. They don't know who they are. They don't have any idea what's going on at all. All they know is, I have to get a job so I can pay my rent, so I can buy my food. And they're so miserable, they just try to have some sex and then watch television, you see. And the programming stinks. There's no Krishna consciousness there. It's a horrible thing. Therefore, the great acharyas, they are crying to see this situation. It pains them endlessly to see this situation. But those same acharyas, they smile upon those who take up this mission of pushing forward Krishna consciousness. They have huge ear-to-ear grins upon those persons who dedicate their lives for pushing forward Krishna consciousness movement in their neighborhood, town to town, village to village, in whatever way one can. One must push forward this Krishna consciousness movement if one wants to receive the all-merciful blessings of the great Mahajanas. So Prabhupada has enabled us to receive such wonderful, wonderful mercy by giving us this order to preach Krishna consciousness. How kind Prabhupada is to us to give us this opportunity to share the ultimate nectar, this ocean of unlimited happiness, with others. As I have many times mentioned, this is the secret of how to become quickly advanced in Krishna consciousness. The more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So if you feel that you are lacking in Krishna consciousness, then you find some way to give Krishna to others. Somehow or other, tax your brain. Find some way to give Krishna to other people. As much as possible, every day, at every minute. Find a way to push forward Krishna consciousness in every possible way that you can. Go on an all-out campaign to flood the world with Krishna consciousness in every possible way that you can. And I guarantee you, if you do that, you'll be swimming in an ocean of the sweetest nectar at every minute. It's like honey. Wonderful, wonderful honey. You'll be living a honey-esque existence. Honey-esque is a synonym of nectarian. So in this way, chant and be happy. And ask others to chant and become even more happy. So we thank you very much for your nice hearing. And now I can request if there's any questions. Yes.
Try to ask it in English, but okay. You say that if you want to get Krishna, we must give Krishna.
That's right.
But if you want to explain in the case when one have no Krishna and he try to give Krishna, how can one get something to give something? In the case when he is in lack of something.
If you don't have Krishna, how you can give Krishna? Right? That's very simple. Prabhupada has made it easy for you. He's given you so many books. Just distribute books. But let me ask you this. Who is God? Who is God? Tell me.
Krishna.
Yeah. So you just tell people Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. See, well, you know already who is God. Krishna is God. So everyone you meet, you just tell them, my dear sir, there's one thing I'd like to inform you. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's all it requires. Prabhupada said, if you simply tell them this, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you become first-class preacher. All you have to do. My dear sir, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are His eternal servant. If you will chant these names, you'll become free of all anxiety. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If they have any more questions, if they ask questions that you cannot answer, then take the questions, take their contact information and find out the answer from a more advanced devotee. But everyone can preach. That's a fact. Even a little child can preach. So everyone should preach. Preach, 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 Prabhupada said. Preach to the world. Another quote. Look up how many times Prabhupada instructed us to preach and how the different ways he said we should preach. He said, if you feel any compassion for your countrymen, then you must spread this Krishna consciousness movement. They are dying. In how many ways Prabhupada told us to push forward this movement? Any other question? Yes. Agi. Yes. Bhakta Agi. No. Ogi. That's right. Ogi. That's right.
Yesterday, I met. Come close. Yesterday, I met a person. She's an older lady. And she was. Somehow, she and her husband got in contact with the devotees in the early days here. And she's the wife of a famous musician, actually. Yes, and I was speaking with her. She knows all what I'm doing, that I practice Krishna consciousness and everything. And she was interesting. She said, like, I appreciate this is the best religion and everything, and I like very much Prabhupada's books. She said that it's the thing I like most about all the movement.
Is the books.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, should I inspire her somehow to come to the temple? But actually I thought from another point that maybe it's not a good idea because she has some... you know, like a different kind of mentality. Maybe she would not come, like, sit, like, here in the temple or... Because, yeah. You know, she lived that kind of life. And so the question was, how should I... what should my opinion be? Like, should I force or not...
Do you have her contact information now?
Sorry?
You have her contact information? Well... since Krishna inspired you not to come here, then you should go there and visit them and take them very nice, the nicest quality prasadam. And this way you go there and give them nice prasadam. And you should continue cultivating them, you see. That you must do. Such important people, you must continue to cultivate them. You can't just, drop it there. You must continue cultivating them. Either you visit them or you have them come here, but somehow you must continue cultivating them on an ongoing basis.
She said, like, I was very fired up about the movement and I wanted to join the temple and everything, but then I thought about my family and then this is her words exactly. And then she said,
so they have all the books?
Sorry?
They have all the books?
Yes, they have. She even read to her daughter.
You should have programs at their home. They have kirtan program at their home, namahat programs at their home, you know. You should make friends, go there, take them the nicest prasadam, and then and have nice talks with them and talk about Krishna, and then ask them, would you like to have a kirtan in your home? So we can come to your home and have a nice kirtan here in your home. They'll probably love it, you know. You should do that. Have regular, go there and cultivate them regularly. No, you must. Krishna has given you this opportunity. Now you must do something. You can't neglect it. You say, I have some very nice Pashadam. Call him up. I have some very nice Pashadam. I just happened to be in your part of town. I thought maybe I could. Would you like me to drop by? Something, you know, find some way to visit them and bring them the Pashadam. And bring everyone together as one family now, you know. That we have to do. We are fighting a war against the material nature. So those persons who appreciate Prabhupada's books, we have to have strong relationships with them. We must come together to fight this Kali Yuga. Okay? You'll follow up with them?
I'll try.
Huh?
I'll do my best.
Yeah, you must. Right away, as soon as possible. Call him today. Make some arrangement that I'd like to, you know, find some way to tell him I'd like to bring you some very nice prasadam. Everyone loves prasadam. They know what prasadam is.
Yeah.
You make the nicest prasadam, you know. Whatever devotee can make the nicest, tastiest prasadam, you know, and cake, you know, something that's really, really cheesecake, something. It's really attractive. You should take it and give it to them as a gift. All right, then, anything else? All right, we'll stop here. We thank you very much. Rajavidya, this is Bhagavatam. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.